Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing?
I feel like I'm in Japan every time I hear your lovely voice, Chris. That's the point I'd like to make right now as we start the podcast.
And yet, I'm not in Japan.
No, you're not.
I'm
very much in London.
To you, practically on your lap, coffee in hand.
I've seen you so much in the last couple of months. It's almost getting a bit too much, to be honest, Chris.
I can't bear it. It's so much nicer just talking to you when I'm in a lonely hotel room somewhere in North Japan. I've come back to the UK. It's the first time this year, I think, and it's good to be back. It's always good to come home. I come back for a few weeks every year just to remind myself that I'm British and that the UK's good.
And then you come back and remind yourself that it's not. I've seen you more than I've seen my parents this year. That's bad, isn't it? That's bad crack, as my dad would say.
Came to Japan for a few weeks.
Yeah.
You flew back to the UK on the same day that I came to the UK.
Everyone just came back, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So Pete came over to visit. You had 2 weeks in Japan. Mm. How was it?
It was fucking rainy, Chris. Every last minute of every last hour of every last day, it rained and rained. And rained.
Oh no.
It was a bit of a disaster.
Probably not a good idea to come to Japan in rainy season.
No.
Clever boy.
Could have probably sorted my dates out a little bit easier. What is rainy season? How long does it last? It
rains a lot, innit?
Yeah. It's
the whole of June's a bit of a shit show.
Yeah. Okay,
if you come to Japan in June, don't. Well, if you do, bring an umbrella.
It's so rainy. Isn't that strange, though, that it seems to, like, you know, collect all of its rainy season business into one little tiny month? It's very strange. It's very odd.
But were you still able to do something good?
Yeah, I mean, you know me, Chris. I'm a bit of a nightlife kind of night owl, so those kind of things were fine with the rain. Just had to remember to carry a brolly around. But, we went all over the place. We spent a couple of days in Miyazaki.
In Kyushu, right?
In Kyushu, Aoshima, I think it's called, with the shrine on the on this wee little island that's surrounded by all this volcanic rock. But they're all in like lines, really thin like lines spreading out from the island, and it just looks like it does look like a washboard. They call it the Devil's Washboard. Actually, I've seen it written Devil's Washboard, Ogre's Washboard, all kinds of different washboard. They can't seem to decide whether it's an Ogre's Washboard or a Devil's Washboard. Either way, that was very beautiful, very pretty. I recommend that, especially if you like surfing as well, because there's some mean, I know snowboarders call it powder, but what do surfers call it?
Surf.
Big surf. Hitting some big air.
Yeah, that region's well known for its surfing, actually. Yeah, you meet a lot of Japanese surfers down there. Mm. I've never been to Miyazaki. It's one of, I think, four or five prefectures I've yet to visit.
Yeah.
If you could sum it up in one word, what would that word be?
Sunny. It was really nice. The first couple of days were really nice. Went down to Kagoshima.
Did you see the smoking volcano, Sakurajima?
It was not. It was not smoking at the time. Sakurajima, the big boy, was not doing anything really at the time. But again, it started raining again. I can't really get a. It just looked a bit miserable. So, like, you know what? We'll try and chase the good weather, and we kind of found it in sort of Kobe sort of area. Kobe. So we kept on going.
Did you know people in the final video of Journey Across Japan, Never Ending Cycle of Despair, is coming out this week, same week as this podcast. You've got to Kagoshima before I did. The people there carry umbrellas, not just for the rain, but also for the ash.
Oh,
because a lot of ash comes down the volcano and peppers the city of Kagoshima with ash. So
Yeah, I mean, that's not ideal, is it?
It's not ideal. It looks like everyone's got dandruff walking around town. Horrible. But luckily, I didn't have that problem when I was there.
No. But did you get to see... So I presume you saw a bit of the smoking volcano and had a lovely time.
Yeah, it was smoky. It was really nice. It was a hot, sunny day, as you'll see in the video, and which you should definitely watch. Mm. On the Abroad in Japan channel. And, yeah, it was just smoking away quietly in the background. It looks really cool. It reminded me of the... I don't know if you've been to Disneyland Sea in Tokyo.
No.
But they've got a volcano in the middle of the park. Obviously, not a real volcano, but it is smoking. And it made me think of Disneyland Sea.
It's a weird thing to install in the middle of your park, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
It's a weird thing to have it smoking all day. What does it is it
cool,
just like dry ice or...
I don't know.
How do they make it smoke?
I'll have to make a video about it. But it looks really theatrically brilliant. And so when I was just standing there in Kagoshima looking over the city, out towards the volcano, that's what I thought about. Disneyland Sea. And you will too when you go there.
It was nice though. The people were very nice and it was very picturesque.
Well, my favourite thing about your trip was you finally made, and we've talked about this, ladies and gentlemen, for years.
You demanded it.
1 year. That Pete Donaldson was going to make his very first YouTube channel and YouTube video. He did it. And it's gone viral with
piece
a whopping 17,000 views.
Yeah.
What's it called, Pete?
I can't remember. The channel's called Travel Clickbait Farts. It was an old channel that I used to put videos on that I had to... If I was drafting up a bit of video for my football podcast or something, I'd stick it on there.
Right.
And send people a link so they can look at it. But this is very much... I've rebranded it to Travel Clickbait Farts for fun and profit.
Yeah, so you made a video called 60 Things to Do When You're Bored or something.
Yeah, something like that. I was just basically taking the general aesthetic appeal of your channel, red and black, and you going, ooh, bloody hell, and loads of things happening in the background. And yeah, basically copied that. And
it worked,
Chris.
It worked. Mainly because I bloody promoted it for you.
All right, Chris, I know.
Social media relentlessly for one day. You've now got... an incredible 1,413 subscribers.
When does YouTube send me my doubloons?
Well, they send me that number, right? But that's actually quite impressive. It took me 1 year on YouTube to get that number of subscribers. You got it in like a day. So.
You could be the kingmaker for so many channels that actually give a shit.
That's right.
But I enjoyed... but I think when I was walking around the day I hung out with you, the day I hung out with Ian, who works at Tokyo Creative, and a couple of others, every time I saw something a bit silly, I thought, I'll film that. And just a little 3-second clip and basically just concatenate them together. Took a couple of hours. Chris, I don't mind admitting that I am an editing whiz on the popular editing package Sony Vegas, which is an unlovable video package, but it is it's something I can work with.
I think the key to it was just you had a very good voiceover. Your wonderful voice, your decadent radio voice.
I don't think I was trying that hard, Chris, but it worked.
It's a good video. It reminded me of back when I made videos that were good. And it's... Or videos that were just not as much effort as I put in now, but probably more entertaining.
Actually, it inspired me.
Like, after Journey Across Japan, I'm going to just make videos like that.
Just go down the 7-Eleven,
pick
you some
up
eggs,
crap and just
pick up some crap, and just go.
Brilliant.
And go pick up some. What's it?
But do you feel, having made this video, do you feel like you're going to carry on? You're going to take these four. You've got 1,413 subscribers sitting there waiting
for the next video to drop.
The next incredible chapter in the Pete Donaldson.
The problem is
Travel Clickbait Fart
story. The only reason anybody subscribed to that channel is because they're expecting Japanese content now.
We're sitting in the middle of London with at least 25 Japanese restaurants within a 1 mile. Radius of this room that we're in now.
Give them a Japanese experience in London.
Pretend to be in Japan or something.
I think I was wearing my Osaka Glicoman t-shirt.
The Glicoman t-shirt in
this Japanese supermarket around the corner. I got many underwhelming comments from the staff who work there. But I'm currently drinking a Kisaten. Coffee shop milk tea that used to be a Japanese sort of manga shop and nobody used to go in there.
Right.
And now they've converted it into a karaoke house / bubble tea shop /
not bubble tea.
It's just endless.
You actually like bubble tea?
I can take it or leave it, but the little bubbles that pop are incredibly charming.
Last time I had bubble tea was 4 years ago and I felt physically sick. I don't know why. But I've had a good month. I haven't had a good month. It's been a busy month. But I've had a good week because I got featured in the Yomiuri Shimbun, the biggest newspaper in Japan.
Mate!
Did you see it?
I am reading about a... Oh, God, what is it now? What's the name of it? Because I bought this book in accidentally, and I bought it in French. So now I own a book about a Tokyo-based... based newspaper writer, journalist, if you will.
Yeah.
I bought it in French, and obviously I can't read French or write it. So that was no good to me. So then I bought it in English. It's actually quite an interesting story. The guy's started off, I think he went to school. He's an American guy. American kind of New York Jewish chap.
So is it Tokyo Vice?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, I read that years ago.
Yeah. I haven't.
It's quite good.
It's all right. He's a bit of a blowhard.
Jake Adelstein, right? Mm. Adelstein, yeah, they're making it into a TV show.
Are they?
It's quite a good book. He talks about his time as a journalist at the Yomiuri Shimbun, dealing with the Yakuza.
Mm.
It's a bit difficult to know which bits of fiction and non-fiction do feel like a lot of it's dramatised. But nonetheless, it was a really good read.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stories that he's doing at the start of the book is obviously very... they're very small-scale stuff, like a little murder here, a little fist fight here. But, yeah, I'm sure it'll ramp up to something more dramatic, but it seems quite all realistic.
If you're wondering what we're talking about, Tokyo Vice, it's a book. You can get off anywhere. Really work.
Don't buy in French.
If you're into Yakuza, it's a good little read.
Interesting.
And alternatively, if you want to see the Abroad Japan channel featuring the Yomiuri Shimbun, just go to the social media of Abroad Japan.
So.
And see the most awkward... title and photo ever.
You were interviewed about your Abroad Japan channel.
Yeah.
Which is very good.
Yeah.
And you give it the big licks about how awesome you are. And
yes.
And they duly delivered a very complimentary piece about you.
Well, yeah. But if you looked at the article, the title is Videos Like a Party. And then beneath that is a photo of me standing alone in the middle of a road filming myself with the camera looking like a complete... dickhead.
Why?
We staged it because they were like, let's go and take a photo of you and make it look like you're... doing something. I was like, oh, okay. Usually these days I don't film myself. I try and have a cameraman. It just looks really awkward. Kind of like ironically, comedically shit. It was a good article. It was all right.
I enjoyed it.
And,
it was good.
I was thankful to the Yomiuri Shimbun. I liked the first line of it as well. So it was like some Norwegian people just wandered up to me and asked, are you Chris Broad? And it's like, the second line is, he was. Go and have a read of that. But that isn't the news story we're here to talk about today. There is a news story that lots of you guys have been asking me to talk about, and it did happen a few weeks ago. We're a bit late to the party on this one because Pete and I have been travelling around and whatnot.
Been busy.
And it is the Kim Kardashian horrible cultural appropriation story. Now, I hate the phrase cultural appropriation like a lot of people. I feel like it's overused in this day and age of overly... you know, political correctness gone mad. I feel like it is overused. But this situation with Kim Kardashian, it taught me the definition of cultural appropriation.
Mm.
What happened, Pete?
She released a set of, like a clothing range that basically was called Kimono.
Kimono, clever, isn't it?
Clever, I see what she's done there. But it's basically just tight pants, like kind of body-shaping pants for women.
They look pretty crap, to be honest.
Well, I mean, as pants go, I mean, I'm no expert in ladies' bloomers, but yeah, I mean, I think what we're forgetting here is that people of a certain financial income can look like Kim Kardashian and her sisters, but it don't come through hard work. It does not come through hard work. It comes through the knife. Injections.
It certainly does, and yeah, I mean, she wanted to the bit that really annoyed me was her trademarking or attempted to trademark the word kimono.
That's a weird,
it's a pretty
word.
Bold move, isn't it?
I mean, surely the people who have sold kimonos over the thousands and thousands of years that Japan's been selling them, surely must have tried to trademark it at some point. Can we trademark a kimono, please?
You shouldn't need to with a word that has that much historical.
Well, it's like trousers, isn't it? It's like trying to try and make the word trousers.
Pete Dawson's trousers.
Trousers, yeah.
But, like, I mean, the bit where I got really annoyed about this was when I saw on Twitter just loads of photos of Japanese women taking up arms against Kim Kardashian, posting photos of them adorning their beautiful kimonos that they've worn, been passed down from generation to generation, and they sort of pleading with Kim Kardashian not to completely trash the word kimono, drag it through the dirt, this beautiful, beautiful item of clothing. Bit of Japanese heritage, which is now going to be some tacky solution. It was going to be called kimono solution wear.
Solution wear.
Fucking awful.
When the solution is a big sandwich, it seemed to be. It's just a lot of sort of waist training products, wasn't it? But yeah, I think it's sad. But do you not think that she knew that? And presumably the people, whenever you create a massive line like this, presumably... you know exactly, you're going to be working with professionals and they're going to go, we clearly can't trademark that. This is just going to be a big old kind of
a lot of people thought it was going to be like a publicity stunt, right? That she was doing it so it would create this online backlash and then she would be...
the good guy.
Inevitably, in the end, after the backlash, she did step down saying, no, I've thought about this carefully, blah, blah, blah. Mm. We're not going to use the word kimono now.
It's weird, isn't
it? And a lot of people thought that was staged. Mm. And I don't know... whether it is or not, but then again, this is the woman that had a conveniently leaked sex tape, and that is essentially how her entire career started.
Mm.
Conveniently leaked sex tape.
Interesting family.
Convenient, yeah. Well,
I didn't really know who she was before the sex. Like a bit like Paris Hilton before she leaked sex tape. It was like, I don't know who any of these people are, to be honest. Should I know them? I mean, it's the O.J. Simpson daughter of O.J. Simpson's lawyer, wasn't it, or something?
Yeah.
I don't really know the family.
It all started there.
Yeah.
But yeah, imagine being Japanese and having this wonderful kimono. The word kimono being stolen by a woman who's become famous through a conveniently leaked sex tape.
Is there anything that is quintessentially British that you wouldn't want a celebrity to steal? Like, I don't know, Ron Jeremy's pasties.
Ron Jeremy's pasties.
That's the most famous person I can think of
pork
at
pies.
That time.
Don't know,
I was thinking
about
porn, that's why. Pork pies, yes.
Mainly just food.
Is there a famous Peter?
Peter?
Yeah.
Peter Andre.
He's had a global Serovinovich?
No.
Why is there no famous Peters?
Well, you're famous.
Well, I'll have to be. Sounds like there's a real dearth of... There's a vacuum, if you will, of famous Peters, and I need to inhabit it.
Mate, you've got 1,400 subscribers.
Mate.
If that's not famous, nothing is.
Oh, I'm going to abuse them. I'm going to put some awful things up there.
But she stepped down after the mayor of Kyoto actually sent her a letter pleading with her to drop the word kimono. And also, I think, offering a tour of Kyoto and a traditional tour.
Oh, sorry. I'm always very reverential about Japan and nice to it.
Where's
what
your
do
free
I
tour?
Get? Where's my free tour? Oh, I've got to spend a couple of grand on holiday every bloody year to see my friend Chris Broad in Japan. Thank you.
But, I mean, it's interesting when I contrast this with the Avril Lavigne Hello Kitty video, which we talked about, I think, before.
Yeah.
Avril Lavigne made a video, Hello Kitty. If you haven't seen it,
Hello Kitty.
Probably don't go and listen to it, or go and watch the video, but just turn the sound off. I haven't really got anything against Avril Lavigne.
No,
but that video is fucking awful. I remember I played it to Natsuki, and he literally threw me out of his shop. He was like, "Get the fuck out!" And I threw him out the door. And it's not hard to see why when you play it. A lot of people said that was cultural appropriation or whatever because she played upon these stereotypes of Japan and shop staff being like robots or something, because
right.
she's walking through Harajuku and is surrounded by Japanese women that are acting really robotic and weird.
Right.
I wouldn't call that. I don't think that's cultural appropriation. I think it's just a shit video.
And also, like we said last time, it's hardly high society. It's hardly high culture, is it, really? I mean,
no.
it's Hello Kitty and a sweet shop in Harajuku.
Credit where it's due, Avril Lavigne does actually like Japan.
Yeah.
And I see her face on posters and adverts all across the country.
She was all over the old... She's all over the bus shelters in Japan.
She's doing some sort of product range for skincare at the moment.
Yeah.
That's the trick, right? If you're a celebrity out there in the big wide world, go and say you like Japan. Japanese companies, I'm not lying, Japanese companies will snap you up, fly you over to Tokyo and put you in loads of adverts.
Yeah.
And then you'll be, you know, rolling in a pile of money.
That's how Tommy Lee Jones,
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Those two.
Literally anyone.
And now Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, exactly. The Triforce, as we call
it. If you're an A-list or B-list celebrity listening to this, that's what you need to do. Shout out Japan, and the money will come rolling in.
That was my plan. That was my plan.
Bus shelters all around Tokyo.
We're going to take a short ad break, if that's all right with you. So we'll be back in a second.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Olympic.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Long, long,
and we're back. Long, long man. I bought one of them while I was away. A big, it's a bit like a ribbon candy, isn't it?
It's like a big long chewing gum thing. Is it chewing gum or
no, candy? No, it's normal candy. It's kind of quite yielding, kind of. You know when you bite something that resembles the texture of like flesh? and you feel a bit weird doing it. That's a long man. It's like it's too yielding. You're sort of like going, oh, I shouldn't be biting this.
Can't say I've ever bitten into anything that's fleshy.
Well, you never lived there, Chris.
Clearly not.
I think we know what you're like in the bedroom. Good.
moving on. Questions.
What
have we got from the fax machine?
Fax machine is turned on, and it is beep, beep, beeping. Greetings, Chris and Pete. My name is James, and I'm from Alabama, USA. I always enjoy listening to the podcast while riding the subway. For the past 10 months, I've been studying abroad in the Nagoya area of Japan, learning Japanese. Unfortunately, my time in Japan is coming to a close. At time of writing, I've got about 2 weeks until I return home. My question is that if you were to leave Japan not knowing when you would come back, what would you do on your very last day?
I suppose the businessman in me just make loads of videos in a day, like 25 videos, and then just distribute them throughout the next 2 years and just pretend to be in Japan.
Right, okay.
But the human in me would go to Sakata, Yamagata, and go out for one last drink with my friends Natsuki and Yuki.
Aww.
And then we go to karaoke and sing Backstreet Boys all night long.
That's lovely, Chris.
It is lovely.
That's a lovely thing to say.
Yeah, whenever I'm stressed, I always think back to my time there in Yamagata Prefecture. I had so many nice moments where I just thought, wow, life is good.
You're a real kind of... you're not a city boy, are you, in Japan?
No,
you really
are.
You do like the villages.
Yeah, I mean, I've lived in Sendai for 3.5 years now. Mm. Jesus, that's all quick. I live in Sendai now more than I've lived in the countryside. And, I was always a lot happier out in the countryside.
Yeah. When we were out in Aoshima, it was a situation where we'd be... it was very, 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 very quiet. And, like, you know, like, we're sort of spoilt by the fact that, like, the bullet trains take no time at all to get from one place to the other. Mm. Those kind of, like, local kind of JR trains that, like, every half an hour it'll come, or every hour it'll come, and it'll just be one of those little kind of, little trolleys, effectively, taking us into Kagoshima. It's weird.
You just have those nice moments, though, out there, right? You just stop and look around and kind of go, yes, this is it.
No, massively. You know? And, like, you sort of had... it's just so relaxing. You don't see another soul. Like, it got to about 10 o'clock. We arrived at our Airbnb and we got to our place and we sort of got set up shop and was like, oh, we'll pop out and get some food. And we had to walk for miles and miles and miles to find a 7-Eleven. And we found quite a big 7-Eleven. Mm. I was just the cleaner leaving for some reason. He just thinks it's okay to pop in and just start emptying bins while recording. Yeah, it's fine, mate. I mean, a bit of decorum. The recording light was on, guys. Outrageous.
Recording in central London in Pete's studio. It's cleaner just
walked in. Yeah, I'll just
all the rubbish.
Yeah, we're just recording something here. Yeah, it's fine.
Shocking.
Oh, dear.
This is the Braun Japan podcast, god damn it. Just walking.
What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, there's a big cockroach. There's a big cockroach trying to get into the 7-Eleven.
That's why I can't live down in the south. Like, you know, south Japan, there's just so much death. Snakes.
A lot of cockroaches.
Giant bumblebees that will eat your face. Cockroaches, horrible. Can't be doing with that.
I enjoyed it. But it's very, very, very quiet.
What would you do on your last day? Say, for whatever reason, you couldn't come back to Japan.
Mm.
What would you do on your last day?
I would want something that kind of lived long in the memory, if not the body.
You just get drunk in Shibuya and roll around on the floor.
Look, if I don't get myself on that Shibuya Meltdown Instagram page, I'd be very upset. I would try and get a disease. Because I'd remember my good times in Japan. In later life, I started this disease, so I'd probably spend my time licking all of the handrails on the tube.
Not the answer I was expecting.
No, I'd probably just have... Yeah, it's like just, you know, hang out with you.
Hang out with me.
You'd make me eat a horse again.
God. Yeah, when Pete came over, we did eat horse, raw horse.
Yeah, Chris kept on like laughing and ha-ha-ha. Enjoy the horse. I'm enjoying the horse. It's fine.
I didn't laugh.
You were going, ha-ha-ha-ha. How is the horse, Pete? And I was going, it's fine, Chris. It's delicious. The flank is a bit fatty. It was just fat.
Yeah.
And you were going, ha-ha, enjoy the horse, Pete. And I was going, I'm enjoying the horse, Chris. It's fine.
So, I mean, I released a video a few weeks ago, didn't I, about eating Japanese horse meat. I've done it before. Mm. And you get a lot of hate from people who love horses. And I, you know, I can understand, that's fair enough. I don't go out and eat horse every day. It's like an annual thing.
Right.
It tastes quite good. Tastes all right.
I think
it's worth a try. If you come in Japan and you're a meat connoisseur, horse meat, known as basashi in Japan, is definitely worth a try. Or the more elegant name, sakuraniku.
Oh, cherry blossom. Like cherry blossom meat.
It's pink like cherry blossom.
It's a really, it's weird though, isn't it?
Poetic way of looking at a dead horse.
Why do we treat cows as being companions?
Yeah, right, I found it quite hypocritical. Lots of people had a go at me like, oh, you killed a horse. Mm. But it's like, what about the billions of cows that die every year? Mm. Cows and chickens, you know, you can't. Yeah. It seems a bit hypocritical to
massively
for eating a horse, but not for meat in general. Well, you have a go at me for eating a cow, but not a horse.
I'd probably not do a dog.
No,
I probably isn't that sad though that I draw the line.
Well,
you just sort of you've got this little moral kind of compass that's all bent and broken.
Yeah,
and you're just like, why am I stopping at dog? Because I bloody love dogs. I'd eat a cat. I'm joking. I would eat a cat. I wonder what it tastes like.
I don't know. We're not eating the cat.
Okay.
Cats are
all right, fine. Cats
Everyone loves cats and dogs.
Yeah. Hello Kitty. Get in my mouth.
Hello Kitty music video that we don't deserve.
Me getting kicked out of a cat cafe. Sir!
Oh, God.
It's not the food. It's not the food in the cafe.
We've got another question here from Sean. He says, hi, Christopher. Well, use my full name.
Hello.
That's bold. Hi, Christopher and Pete.
Peter.
Thought I'd be formal. We haven't met. I'm arriving in Tokyo in 88 days for the Rugby World Cup. I've got loads planned from your videos, but I'm ashamed to say I've never had sushi before. Where would you say I should start? Should I bother with the chain restaurants or go the full shebang to somewhere proper? Is there somewhere that much different, seeing as though it's just fish and rice? Also, great to see someone else who loves a jar of Sapporo. Hoping to find bars with that on tap. Can only seem to find the cans here. Also, can't wait to buy a pair of sappy pants. The other half, I'm sure love them. Sean, sappy underwear.
Is that like some kind of weird brand?
It's a brand in Don Quixote. You know the discount goods store, Don Quixote, they've got a weird brand of underwear just called Sappy.
That and Black Man pants.
Black Man underwear and Sappy underwear.
Sappy.
I'm not sure which I'd rather have.
Well, because sap is like the oozing filth from a tree, isn't it?
Yeah, or just...
You don't want that in your pants.
Sappy. Loser, sappy. Right? Kind of
I guess so. Sappy.
Bit of a weird one. Imagine just, you know, going back to someone's apartment.
Yeah.
Things are going well. You pull down your trousers and reveal Sappy underwear.
Kind of
kills it. Right off the bat,
well, I think any man worth his salt has probably got some pants he's pretty ashamed of. So the trick is just take it all off at once.
Speak for yourself.
Pull it all down at once.
Going back to the subject of sushi, though. From pants to sushi. I would say my favourite sushi chain is Sushi Zanmai.
Ooh.
Best tuna in the land and at a reasonable price. They're all over Japan. The owner of Sushi Zanmai, Kiyoshi Kimura, is known as the Tuna King because every year he spends a frivolous amount of money, a ridiculous sum of money, on the most expensive tuna in all of Japan. This year he spent $3.1 million on a single tuna.
That's his record.
That's his record and the world record for the most ever spent on a fish.
The ships that must go out, it must be like, that's the one for the Tuna King. This is going to bag me the big bucks.
Well, I've been on it. I've been on the boat that got the tuna. I made a video back in February called "What Does," I think it's like, "What Does $3.1 million tuna taste like?" Or something. And I, Ryota and I actually went out. The best tuna in Japan is caught in Oma, which is this little peninsula just off the northern tip of Honshu, between the island of Hokkaido and Honshu. It's a little bit of sea, and there's a really fertile strait. And loads of great tuna are there. And they have this, like, one fishing line, one rod method where they just drop a line into the sea and catch one large tuna at a time. It's quite a spectacle. If you're into fishing of tuna or fishing in general, check out the video. It's quite a good one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he spent $3.1 million on this tuna.
That's too much, isn't it?
Probably a bit excessive. But credit where it's due, Sushi Zanmai, the tuna is amazing.
Yeah.
You're looking at about 2,500 yen for a big plate, a big variety plate of tuna, but it's so good.
That's worth it.
I make an effort to go there whenever I'm around in Tokyo. I try and go like once a week.
Yeah. Well, especially because
it's not conveyor belt sushi though. It's not like it's not a conveyor belt or a little train or anything. It's not kind of
fast food
theatrically. Yeah.
I think with that, you sort of... I'd argue that if you've never been to Japan and eaten sushi, or you've never been to, like, a high-grade sushi restaurant wherever you are in a big city, I would argue you probably haven't had proper sushi.
Well, exactly.
And I've only had it once with you.
Well, I mean, where I lived in Sakata, I had a conveyor belt sushi restaurant, and I went there, like, once a week, and I thought that was sushi. And then my friend Yuki took me for some proper sushi, the one that I took you to, actually, last year. And so good. You pay a little bit more. Like, conveyor belt sushi, you can spend about 1,200 yen on a meal. A proper sushi restaurant, you're looking more at 3,000 yen. But the difference in quality is staggering.
That's beautiful.
And it's amazing.
It's
so
stunning.
Yeah, Sushi Zanmai, definitely recommend it. Get yourself down there. The chain's all across Tokyo. And I promise you, it is some of the best sushi you'll ever have.
I enjoyed Yuki, after we'd met, he put a picture of me on his Facebook page and wrote in Japanese, that is Peter-san. I think he has something to do with Coldplay.
I know why that is. It's because you said to Yuki that you met Coldplay.
Oh, right,
because I was trying to big you up.
You were trying to big me up, right?
I was trying to big you
up.
Like, Pete came over to Japan, as we all know, and I showed him around for the week. And my friend, I introduced him to my good friend Yuki, who you can see in a video called Japanese People Eating Marmite. Mm. He's the guy that gets poisoned by it. And I, to try and explain Pete in one sentence, I said, he's a famous DJ, he's met Coldplay, because I knew Yuki loved Coldplay.
Okay, right.
For some reason. And, so now you're the guy that loves Coldplay.
Oh, well, there you go. Lovely old job.
You're forever in his thoughts. I think that's it, isn't it?
Let's get out of here. We've done enough. We've given you enough, I would say.
Keep the questions coming, guys. TimberonJapanPodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next week to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week. And don't you dare trademark the word kimono, or I'll be coming for you. God help you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.